I almost don't know what to say. Emil's sick and it's me. But he's done this before without me, but I've not done this before without him. Luckily, the one and only producer Jono, though, will be here.
Hello, everybody.
Does this mean I'm going to have to wait to find out who won Fun Fact Friday?
Well, no, because it's not your fault that Emil is sick.
So it's not my fault.
You can still reveal that later on in the ep.
Good, because I was actually getting a little bit like, okay, he's going to have a miraculous recovery if we're not going to be able to talk about that for the whole week. Kia ora, this is Newsable. I'm Imogen.
And I'm Jono, and this is What's Worth Talking About. How many people are heading across the ditch to Australia? Spoiler alert, it's a lot, and the brain drain is real.
Prince Harry versus the media round 3,762 or something like that. He's facing the British tabloids in court this week, so what can we expect?
Are petrol prices about to take a massive hike, and why it's not actually our government's fault?
And an unexpected controversy we're keen for your opinions on. Do you reheat your leftovers before you eat them?
All that coming up in a moment here on Newsable.
Newsable takes time and resources to produce. Please support our mahi and visit stuff.co.nz/support.
So here's some news for your Tuesday morning. Petrol prices could be about to take a jump. I'm really sorry, but just like everything else in our lives right now, it's looking like that price is going to increase. In the budget, the government announced the fuel tax subsidy would end at the end of this month, so from July onwards. And now we find out from OPEC, the organisation of leading oil-producing countries, that they're going to limit production in a bid to hold up global oil prices from, guess when, July as well. So here to explain is Brad Olsen from Infometrics. Morena, Brad.
Morena.
I just gave the briefest of explanations of what OPEC is. Can you give us a bit more detail? What is OPEC and why do its decisions matter?
Yeah, so OPEC and OPEC Plus are some of the largest oil producers in the world. Together, they account for about 40% of total oil supply. And when you control 40%, that's 40, you have a big ability to direct how prices for oil go. So what we're seeing across the world is that with the global economy not looking all that strong at the moment, oil prices have been falling back. I think at the end of last week, they were sort of hovering around $76 or so US a barrel. With OPEC, of course, they make money from oil. So when the price of oil goes down, if there's a global recession or something expected to come through, they're not going to make as much cash. They implemented a cut back in April, bit of a surprise cut to oil production. Given how supply and demand works, if you're cutting that supply that's available, generally speaking, you boost the price. That's what they had tried to achieve back in April. It spiked for a bit, but those global recessionary fears pulled it back. We're now back in that same position where OPEC is trying to cut the production to try and raise the price, and it's one of the largest production cuts by the looks for in a few years.
So as I mentioned before, the fuel tax subsidy ends in July. That's also when Saudi Arabia is planning to start this fresh round of cuts. Is this going to be a brace for impact situation? And if prices do skyrocket, how quickly could we feel that at the pump here in New Zealand?
Certainly, in terms of those fuel taxes coming back to their more normal levels, if you will, there is an expectation that's going to be a pretty swift hit, 28.5 cents a litre back onto something like 91 petrol. If you're driving a diesel, your road user charges will go back up as well. The question then, like you say, is if you're doing that at the same time as OPEC is starting to cut production and raise prices, what does that mean? Back in April when they cut, the international oil price went up by about $9 a barrel. So it was a pretty big increase pretty quickly, but it did come back over time. I think for New Zealand, what that likely means is that, yes, we would expect to see an even larger increase coming forward than just that 28.5 cents a litre from the 1st of July. Given the oil companies and sort of how those prices have tended to move before, I probably would expect them to move pretty quickly. You'd just hope that if they do start to fall like they did after the April cut, they would also start to fall here in New Zealand. Always feels like quite a lot of people sort of suspect that the oil companies don't cut their prices quite as quickly. There are a range of factors to do with that, but I think given how much that is going to hit household budgets, you know, it's a bunch more additional costs that households are going to have to wear. Certainly an expectation that probably as quickly as the international prices go up, ours will probably go up too.
Might be time to start Google mapping a walk to work, I think. Brad Olson, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Prince Harry hates the media. And isn't it weird that that's not a controversial statement in the slightest, really? Like, he just actually genuinely hates the media. But we're about to get a new look at just how much he hates them. And this time, we're not going to have to hear about his frostbitten weenie. He's testifying in a court case in the UK this week, suing a whole bunch of newspapers for acting illegally to get stories about him. Producer Jono, royal correspondent, what's this case actually about?
Prince Harry is among around 100 celebs, and they're accusing the Mirror Group of phone hacking on a, quote, industrial scale, obtaining their private details by deception and carrying out other illicit acts to get information about them and then turn that into front page tabloid stories. The claimants say senior management at the company knew what was going on and they knew it was illegal, but they did nothing to stop it. The company denies anyone in leadership knew what its reporters were doing to get some of these front page stories, and therefore they shouldn't be held liable.
And so what does Prince Harry say Mirror Group did?
Well, Harry says 140 stories about him that appeared across the Mirror Group's newspapers. They own quite a few of them. He says all those stories were a result of phone hacking or other unlawful behaviour. But actually only about 30 of those are going to be kind of dissected at this trial. Mirror Group has already admitted there is some evidence that Harry was among those targeted by the illegal information gathering activities. And for that, it's apologised and says he is entitled to compensation. However, it's rejecting a whole bunch of his other claims, saying that a lot of the information came from a senior aide to his father, now King Charles.
And that's what he says, isn't it, in the book and in the documentaries. I wouldn't even know how to hack a phone. Maybe I'll hack yours.
I mean, it would be so boring.
We may joke about hating Aussies, but turns out thousands of us are willing to live across the Tasman. The brain drain across the ditch is real, with thousands of people heading to the land of higher wages, more sunshine, and lots more spiders. But whatever else Aussie can offer, it seems like New Zealanders want it. But it's not easy to work out just how big a problem this is. But luckily, Stuff's business reporter Jed Cann has done all the hard work for me. Hi, Jed.
Hi.
So do we know how many people are heading across the ditch? Is this really looking like a brain drain?
Yes, and increasingly so. I mean, one of the problems we're going to talk about probably in a minute is that the New Zealand government doesn't have as good a handle on it as it did. The last time Stats New Zealand updated us, it was in September, and then we had a provisional loss of about 10,200 people. And data from the Australian Bureau of Statistics, who do continually monitor this, suggests that's really ramping up. In the March quarter, we had 12,650 Kiwis arriving in Australia with the intention to stay. And, I mean, that was a 42% increase just from the quarter before.
Wow, that's huge. Are we getting any Aussies coming this way? Are we balancing out the skill sets that we're losing?
Difficult to say, but it doesn't look like it. In the year to the end of March, 38,430 Kiwis went to Oz. And Stats New Zealand does record people coming the other way, and it was only 6,800. A big mismatch there.
And you mentioned the government and its handle on things. So what's going on?
Well, essentially, we made this decision to get rid of departure cards in 2018. And Stats New Zealand, they provided a fun quote to me that essentially says they did advise them that there'd be no statistical advantages to this and the loss of particularly the information around what the occupation were of those people leaving was. So we really have minimal visibility of that.
We've got skill shortages here across a number of industries. Are these shortages just going to get worse?
Very difficult to say. We do luckily have the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment do track the number of people coming on visas that do require a certain occupation. And a lot of the insights from that suggest that we are getting the people we need in a lot of sectors. We're getting a lot of building labourers, lots of carpenters, lots of cooks and chefs and truck drivers. Essentially, it does shape up as if we're we're sorting some of the shortages we have in the building industry, health, tourism and trucking sectors. But on other fronts, there just seems to be a complete lack of the right people coming in. Teachers is the big one I've looked at recently. Mm-hmm. The most recent kind of update in September from Cabinet suggested we needed about 937 teachers. Only about 332 have come in.
And because working conditions and pay in Aussie, if you're a teacher, are they better?
Yes, substantially better. I've recently spoken to somebody who did get offered a job and would have gone, but they said they needed her in 3 weeks, and she was going to be earning, I think it was $50,000 more.
$50,000 more?
Yeah.
Wow.
And she was obviously quite an advanced teacher, but she was saying that she had a younger colleague who had gone over who was essentially, as she put it, was able to buy a house on a single income and travel internationally. So there is plenty, and it's not just teachers. Obviously, the average wage over there is just much higher.
And Jed, will you be moving to Australia, or will you stay here so that I can talk to you about this again soon?
Honestly, I'm not sure if the same thing's happened in your office, but certainly we've seen a lot of people from ours departing. I mean, there's a lot to tempt you over. I mean, just for example, average wages, Australia, $1,970 per week. Here it's $1,500. Mm. Rents are lower. I mean, the most expensive area in Australia, the average weekly rent is $560 Australian dollars. But I mean, that's the most expensive area, and yet the median in New Zealand is 560 New Zealand dollars. So you do, and again, as a business reporter, you look at the numbers and you try and establish the quality of life you can gain from them, and it's very tempting. Luckily, I like stuff and I like my job.
Jed Cann, thank you so much for your time. And if you want to know more about this, you can find Jed's story online at stuff.co.nz. Alrighty. Even though he's not here, he being Emile Donovan, I hope you're feeling all right, mate. what's the score? Emile and I weren't too sure, I feel, on Friday. I think he said it was 9-5, but I think he's being generous there.
It's currently 8-4.
8-4, yeah. See, he had given me an extra point.
But we're back to the close ones.
Oh, gosh. What were the facts again? Hang on, 1 second. Mine was that there used to be an art category in the Olympics between 1912 and 1948, and Emile's was that you could make diamonds from peanut butter.
The winner of Fun Fact Friday was Emile Donovan.
No!
Yes.
No!
52-48.
No! Okay, so we said we were going to do this earlier in the openers, but it's a topic that we've realised divides.
And surprisingly so. Like, I would not have thought this would be divisive.
But I suppose, because it's food related, right, and people get very passionate about food. We're talking about whether or not you reheat your leftovers. I, point blank, will never reheat a leftover if I'm eating it for lunch or breakfast or whatever.
Is that purely because you're so hungous, you just want to eat it immediately and you can't wait the 2.5 minutes?
Look, I can see why you've come to that conclusion. But no, I was thinking about why, and I don't really know why. I think it's because sometimes microwave leaves a taste. You know, like it tastes like it's been...
I'm sorry, what?
But you know, like sometimes it can taste like it's been in a microwave.
No.
Microwave taste.
You have to expand on that.
But it tastes like, you know, like, it, you know when you leave something in the fridge uncovered, it starts to like take on fridge taste? Like if you don't...
Yeah, there's other things in the fridge.
Yeah, but so you think about all the... I was about to say shit. I can say shit. Think about all the shit that you put in a microwave to reheat. That surely lingers. I swear when I reheat something, it just doesn't taste as yummy purely because it's like morphed into this unknown food group that just exists in microwave atmosphere.
I think the follow-up we've got here is we're going to need to make you taste test something that has been heated in a microwave and something that hasn't, and see if you can pick the difference, because I bet you won't be able to.
Yeah, but...
I am here for a heated leftover. There are some things I will eat cold.
Okay, name.
KFC. Ooh, that's delicious, especially if you've had a few cheeky Pinot Gris the night before and you're feeling a little bit fragile. The next morning, a bit of cold KFC will fix you right up.
What about pizza? I will never reheat pizza.
See, I will reheat pizza, but I reheat it on the stove.
My godmother showed me a trick one time. She does it in the toasty machine to crisp up the bottom. Is that what you're doing there as well?
Yeah, so put it in a wee non-stick pan so the bottom gets deliciously crispy. And if you put a lid over it, it kind of traps the heat so the cheese goes all melty again. It's like having it fresh.
I think, I'll even eat a cold curry. I won't reheat a curry. We got ramen a couple of months back and there was leftovers and I ate cold ramen the next morning.
So I just think texturally that's strange.
And then we know where this spoon from. I don't know if I should publicise this, but I got I got Burger Fuel the other night and Burger Fuel accidentally gave me another burger.
So firstly, ngā mihi Burger Fuel.
Like, kia ora, big thank you. It was while I was sick, so, you know, it was like, oh my gosh, this makes me feel better. So naturally I saved one. I'm not going to eat two burgers. And then I had...
Would have eaten two.
I could have. I had the... extra burger, bonus burger, yummy burger for lunch the next day. And I didn't reheat it. I had it cold. And then I don't, first and foremost, having a burger at lunchtime is a bad idea.
FOMO was real. Everybody out there, Imogen struggled through her afternoon. She was not emotionally ready.
A lunch burger is never a good idea. And I've learnt my lesson. But then I just ate it cold and it was delicious. And I think if I'd heated it up, it wouldn't have been as yummy.
We are very interested in what you all out there have to say about this. You will no doubt have some strong opinions on the reheating of leftovers, and we would like to hear them. You can hop on the Instagram. You can find us at NewsableNZ, and we're also on TikTok. And if you want to go old school, flick us an email. It's newsable@stuff.co.nz.
We love email correspondence. That's Newsable for today. I'm Imogen Wells.
And I'm Jono Williams. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you follow us on your favourite podcast player. Leave us a rating and a review as well. It actually does help other people discover the show, and it makes us feel like our contribution to society is valued.
Producer Jono told me to say something funny to end this, but now, you know, when you just like, overthink it. So, something funny.
Oh.
This pod took time and resources to produce. Please support our mahi and visit stuff.co.nz/support.